Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Ross Tucker on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, I actually am kind of getting used to that now. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I am Ross Tucker. I think most of you, by the way, know me because if you listen to Jim often, if you're a clone, you know that Jim brings me on quite a bit. We usually end up talking more about food than football. We usually, he always brings up my one business, myfrontpagestory.com, and you guys hilariously crash it every time. It's the best gift you can give anyone for any reason. With, by the way, do you know the most weddings are September, October? Those are the top 2 months for weddings. And I only know that because so many people get stories for anniversaries in September and October. So I did the research on it because they got married in September, October. Let me just tell you guys something. If your girlfriend, fiance, whatever, your significant other wants to get married in the fall, that is like, that's almost a deal breaker. I mean, right away, she is showing, or whoever, maybe it's the guy, I don't know. Your significant other is showing you that they don't have good priorities, that they don't respect your interests. It is unacceptable to get married during football season, unless you get her a story from myfrontpagestory.com, in which case it's totally fine. I don't know how you guys crash every time. It's amazing. So if you're not familiar with me, I played 7 years in the NFL, much to my surprise, by the way. After I went to, I specifically went to Princeton because I thought, well, I'm not going to make the NFL if I go to Princeton for football. And then I just kind of kept getting bigger and better. Washington, Dallas, Buffalo, New England, and the Cleveland Browns for a month. Now I have a bunch of media gigs. I'm an Odyssey insider. I do a bunch of stuff for WIP in Philadelphia. I do the Eagles preseason games on television. I do 14 or 15 college football games on CBS Sports Network, which I love, including all the Army football home games, which are amazing. And I do a bunch of NFL games for Western One as well. And then I have a podcast network where I've got a fantasy podcast, the Fantasy Feast, and Even Money for people that like the betting. And then, of course, The Daily Show is the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. That's who I am, if you're not familiar with me. I'm going to be back tomorrow. Very, very excited about that. I'll be broadcasting live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I'm a little bit nervous. I won't have Stu Kovacs, who's done a great job producing and keeping me on the rails today, or not letting me get off the rails, I guess I should say. And my man Colton doesn't know anything about his cousin Jason Gesser, who's been fantastic so far. And so have you guys. The feedback I've gotten on social media has been amazing. At Ross Tucker NFL is my social media. I've seen people already hitting me up on email, which I love, over at rostucker.com. Bella B said, it's not an ATP day, but I'm wondering what is in that stainless mug of yours, Slurpee? That's my girl, Bella B, in Calgary. I've never been to Calgary, by the way, Bella B. Is there any reason for me to go? I'd be open to it. It's just water. Man, it'd be a lot cooler if it wasn't, though. I mean, that's the thing about a big, like, Yeti thing like this. I could put anything. I could put a Slurpee in here. I could put a little daddy soda in here. There's a lot of things I could put in here. That's a good point, Bella. You know, that would make it for a much different show. If I had a later time slot, if I was in the Maggie and Perloff time slot, there's a decent chance sometimes there would be more than just water in this chalice. What do you even call these things? I can't live without them. I'm an ice snob. I refuse to drink drinks at room temperature. Who does that? If it's a cold drink, I want it as cold as possible. Like before I have a beer, that beer goes in the freezer, depending on the beer, for 12 to 17 minutes. And when I bring it out, I'll say to my brother-in-law or my buddy, I'll be like, I got two in the hole for us. Fire in the hole! And I bring them out, and it's like just about to be Italian ice. It's just about to frost over a little bit. Oh, it's so good. None for me tonight, but Friday night at the Gold Jacket ceremony in Cannes, Saturday night at Tony Baselli's private party, I may, in fact, partake in a few daddy sodas. So, Baselli, if you're watching or listening, make sure you have some good beers for your boy. Or maybe I'll just bring some, just in case. All right, so we've been talking, other than the Dick Vermeil spot, Dick Vermeil's going into the Hall of Fame. The guy's awesome. Glad he came on the show. It's been mainly Deshaun Watson. Where I've kind of landed this thing is, I want him to be suspended for 10 to 12 games and get a huge fine and have a bunch of community service and mandatory counseling. That's where I'm at. I want him to play in meaningless games in November and December. Why not? The Browns are going to be out of it by then. Jacoby Brissett, like, it's a big difference, bro. I mean, it's a big difference. So that's kind of where I'm at with this. At this point, I want to get your opinions. Again, at Ross Tucker NFL is the Twitter handle. It's a different number than Jim's normal telephone number because I'm in New York. 855-212-4227. I'll be back tomorrow. And at 2:40, a little bit later this hour, 2:40 p.m. Eastern time, we'll have Vic Tafer. He's the Raiders beat writer for The Athletic. He's going to talk about tonight's game and what to know about the Raiders. I'm going to get into tonight's game in a little bit because I'm fired up for it. I love football. I love it. I miss it every day. I don't miss the camaraderie with the guys that much. I definitely miss the money, but honestly, I miss the violence. Like, I miss being able to hit somebody as hard as I can. Like, I think about, like, is it weird to sit here every once in a while and, like, look at Colton, the young guy on the other side of the glass, and just wonder, like, how much money would I have to pay him for him to let me hit him as hard as I could? Like, I don't know what that dollar amount is, but I would love to know what it was. Because at some point, it'd be worth it to me. Like, if you could let me hit one of those guys for 10 bucks, 20 bucks. I mean, what's your number? That's what I would need to know. Speaking of your number, let's get to Jim, who's in Hawaii. Wow, that's awesome. What's up, Jim? Where are you in Hawaii?
I'm on the big island of Hawaii on the Hilo side.
Awesome. What's on your mind?
Well, the Deshaun Watson thing, of course. Like with Tom Brady's Deflategate, how they drug out his appeal and everything through that first year and let him play and then had the suspension in the second year, the year after. I mean, because if they suspend Watson this year, his salary is going to be peanuts. Let him play this year. Suspend him next year when it takes more of a bite out of his paycheck. And I agree with one of the earlier callers about, you know, also a good fine, doing community service, women's groups, things like that. Because I've got a daughter, two granddaughters, and two grandsons, and a great-granddaughter. And my oldest granddaughter is a victim of sexual assault. So, you know, it hits home for me. And you guys mentioned Michael Vick a little while ago. I'm an animal lover and a dog lover all my life. As far as Vic's concerned, yeah, he did his time in jail, but I don't think the NFL should welcome him back with open arms.
Really appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you for chiming in. I don't really know what to say when people call in and have personal examples like that. You know, whether it's a daughter, a niece, a granddaughter. I don't really know what to say other than that's absolutely horrible. I have two daughters, and I can't even go there. Like, I can't even go there mentally because the idea of something like that ever happening to them, I mean, I just can't even. Certainly not while I'm on live TV or live radio, I can't go there. So I kind of try to block that out, I guess. But that's multiple callers now who have personal real-life examples of it. And I don't know what to say other than I totally understand your perspective. I totally understand why you want as harsh a discipline as possible, and that you think that the harsher the discipline, the better message that sends to any other young man that might be prone to do something like this. I think it's very fair. Let's get to Sean, who's in Oregon. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Ross. Thanks for filling in. You do a great job wherever you go. And last couple of years, you've been around, and I think everybody knows who you are now. You do a great job.
Thanks, Sean. That means a lot. Spread the word. Write your local congressman. Tell him Ross is the fill-in of the year.
I will, brother. You're great. I just want to say this is a bad look for the Browns. You know, the last couple of years, the Browns have been like the Cubs of football. They've been like the lovable losers. You know, I'm a transplant for Ohio, and I like to root for the Browns, but it can't get behind them right now in this move. This is, you know, the Browns have a bad plan. The Browns are terrible at planning. And then the NFL, if they give this guy on a slap on the hand, it sends a message, and it sends a message to the kids, like you're saying, the people out there, the predators and the bad guys out there. Hopefully that's not another young football player in high school that gets these bad thoughts in his head and thinks, you know, he's not going to get in trouble for this. And if he does, you know, anybody that treats people that takes their position in power, position in life or money, and tries to take advantage of another human being, that's a terrible person. And this guy here, you know, all the counseling isn't going to help him if he doesn't even admit he did something wrong. You know,
that's why he needs counseling. I think that's why he needs to recognize that what he did is wrong. He doesn't realize it yet. I think that's why he needs counseling. That's a part of it that really bothers me. And I think that's going to be mandatory, my guess, as part of whatever the punishment is that the appeal process that the NFL initiated, hands down, and or if there's a settlement. Because remember earlier in the show, Andrew Brandt thinks that there's a 50-50 chance of a settlement. I do too. I think it's better than that. I don't think the NFL wants this thing to go to court, because then we're talking about it more. I mean, this isn't good for business, is it? Now, I will say this. I wonder sometimes just how bad for business is it really? Like, it's not good for business, but how bad for business is it really? Are there going to be sponsors that drop out if Deshaun Watson's only suspended 6 games? Are there going to be people that don't watch when he comes back? Because I have a sneaky suspicion that if he suspended 10 games, a lot of people are going to watch that 11th Browns game. A lot of people are going to watch. And the people that say they won't, I'm going to watch. I'm going to be curious. You know, I can't do anything about his discipline. Whenever it's over, I'm going to be curious to see how he does. Sometimes I wonder how much it really does hurt the NFL if it's only 6 games or 8 games or 10. I mean, people are making a big stink about it now. But once the games start, once he's gone for a while, I wonder how much of the outrage will still be there. Let's go to Wendy in Michigan. I need some Wendy in my life. What's up, Wendy?
Hi, Ross. I'm okay. First time I've ever heard you, so it's pretty good. I agree with what you said about that 6 games is not enough. That's not going to show you. When he comes back, it's not going to be a nothing. But if he gets like the 10 to 12, like you say, it's going to hurt the team. And it's also going to hurt him, because when he comes back, he's not going to be greeted with open arms or anything. And if he loses a couple more games, you know. But in Michigan, where I am, it's not going to affect me one way or the other, because I have the Lions to root for. And we've never had anything like this go on. So I feel sorry for the Cleveland fans who, you know, they thought this kid was so good, and now what he's done has really made it bad. And, of course, if I wasn't living in Cleveland and had this guy as the quarterback, I probably wouldn't watch him at all. I'd say, okay, he's got his thing to pay for. And you know, he's got to earn his way back into his starting job and to get the fans, you know, to follow him again. But I agree with you that he has to have this at least 10 or 12 games where it's gonna make an effect on their season, and if they aren't going to make the playoffs, or if they do, there's going to be a really low playoff round or something.
Yeah, I'm going to – you know what, Wendy? I'm going to predict really 10 games right now. I'm going to predict 10 games because I think more than 10 games, I think the NFLPA would file a lawsuit. Less than 10 games, I don't think they would. I think 10 games is the right number in terms of a middle ground that both sides will be able to deal with. I think that's what it's going to be. I am predicting a settlement, and I'm predicting 10 games. Now, what do I know? I don't know anything. I'm just a former NFL player that just talks about football on the air now for a living. But that's what I envision it being, and I would be okay with that. I would be okay with 10 games. But the two mandatory things for me are counseling and an apology. Counseling and an apology. Mandatory, no matter what the punishment is. So here's what we got, okay? 20 minutes from now, we're talking about tonight's game with Vic Tafer of the Raiders. He covers the Raiders for The Athletic. The Raiders. Best uniform in sports. Don't even at me, at Ross Tucker NFL. We're going to have the huge call next segment, and I'm going to tell you why you should watch preseason games, or why, at least if you don't, you cannot say this. I'll tell you what you cannot say if you don't watch preseason games when we come back. It's the Jim Rome Show here. I'm Ross Tucker filling in, having a great time. Thank you so much for being a part of it. What is this song?
It is Gorillaz by Clint Eastwood.
I don't know the name. Like, I never know the actual words of songs. Like, I just kind of like, I can hum the beat, but I'm the world's worst. You know the song, Hey, Where Do We Go? Like, Brown Eyed Girl, I think. I was on a boat once. I thought for like 30 years the start of that song was Hey Rodrigo. Like, Hey Rodrigo. Days where the whatever. So I was on a boat. I was on a pontoon boat in the Susquehanna River. And my sister-in-law said, wait, what did you just say? I said, Hey Rodrigo. She's like, no, it's Hey, Where Did We Go? What a week, by the way, for your boy. Ross Tucker filling in for Jim Rome, not only today, but tomorrow from Canton, Ohio. So if I don't get to any of your tweets at Ross Tucker NFL, or any of your calls, 855-212-4227 today. I will try again tomorrow when we will talk about some stuff. I think tomorrow's going to be a big Hall of Fame day. In fact, you all have some homework. Think about what it is that you could be in the Hall of Fame of. Could be anything. I don't want to give away mine, but one of mine is for eating. One of mine is for a high school sport other than football that I think I could legitimately be in the Hall of Fame of. But unbelievable week for your boy. Sunday night, I was side stage for Jason Aldean concert in York, PA. Monday and Tuesday, I drive up to New Hampshire and back to pick up my daughters from camp and stop at Treehouse Brewing in both directions because it's delicious. Yesterday, I drive to my hometown of Reading, Pennsylvania, to give a speech to the Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce. My buddy Luke Bernstein is the new president and CEO. I love speaking engagements. Appreciate Luke for that opportunity. And then I get to, by the way, when I got to Manhattan last night, Holland Tunnel, Lincoln Tunnel, both closed. How is that even possible? The parking garage closed, but I'm here doing the show. We got 35 minutes to go. We're going to rock and roll with Vic Tafer in 15 minutes. Then after this, right after this is gone, I'm right back to central Pennsylvania. I live like in the Harrisburg-Hershey area. And then tomorrow morning, leave my house no later than 5:15 a.m. to drive to Canton, Ohio little place called Canton, where the what's the line from Dumb and Dumber, where the salmon of Capistrano or something, where the something the women flow like the salmon of the Capistrano, Canton, yeah, Canton. All right, here's my thing. Before I get to your calls, I gotta say this because there's a game tonight. I love preseason games, and I understand the reasons why a lot of you don't. You don't know the guys participating, and the games don't count. That's fine. Do me a favor. Don't say that you're the biggest fan of your team ever. Don't say, I'm the biggest Steelers fan ever. I'm the biggest Niners fan ever. And then you don't watch your team's preseason games. Because there are literally thousands, if not millions of people that watch every second of those preseason games. They care about the practice squad. They care about the depth. The guys are going to actually be playing in December. And they care about the human interest story. It is the greatest reality show. These are the guys, they're the best football players ever from their hometown. And they'll be playing tonight for the Jaguars and the Raiders, fighting for their dream. The same dream most of you had growing up. And they're that close to it. That's why it's awesome. That reminds me, by the way, every time... You guys will love this. Every time I meet a Cowboys fan, and they're like, I'm the biggest Cowboys fan ever. Which, by the way, side note, every Cowboys fan thinks they're the biggest Cowboys fan ever. Why is that? Why, how? Dude, you're not the biggest. You know how sick some people are in the head? There's people that need Cowboys fan counseling. You're not even the top 5% of greatest Cowboys fans. My line to them every time, when they say that is the same. I go, oh, okay, oh, that's awesome. I said, do you know, I got a trivia question for you. Do you know who started the last 7 games at left guard in 2002? And I'm telling you, it is hilarious. They literally will be like, oh, 2002, okay. That was like Chad Hutchinson or Quincy Carter. Oh, I know this, let me think. Like, and they'll like hem and haw for like a minute and a half. And I'll be like, dude, it's me. It's literally me. I'm standing in front of you. Who else would ask you that question? You know I played in the NFL. It's literally me. Of course it was. Who else would ask you who started the last 7 games at left guard for the Dallas Cowboys? So I'm fine if you don't know that. Just don't say you're the biggest Cowboys fan ever. I do want to get to Kevin in El Paso. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Russ. How's it going? I've never
Whoa, Kev.
Yeah.
Spell that name. What did you just call me? Spell it.
Ross Tucker.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay. I thought you said Russ. And so you got to understand, if you're a Ross, I got a real problem with Russ. I don't like Russ. It's a terrible letter. The U is not closed. It's not circular. Ross is way better than Russ, except for like the 90s. When that dweeb on Friends sullied our name for generations, that's the only actor. I think his name's David Schwimmer. That's the only actor. If I saw him walking in the street in New York City, I would consider punching him or pushing him because of the damage he did to the brand that is Ross. Anyway, you got their name right. What do you got?
Okay, I'm taking the anti-populist point of view here. You're calling this Deshaun Watson a sexual predator, but he's not been charged with any crimes and never has been charged with any crimes. But people seem that those facts, which, by the way, the prosecutor's office in Harris County, Texas, and in Ohio both looked at what evidence was available to substantiate their claims. And they came back with nothing.
So, Kev, I don't want to get into the legal mumbo-jumbo, okay? Because I hate legal mumbo-jumbo, and I appreciate the call and the perspective. I hate getting into the legal stuff. I didn't go to law school for a reason. I got into football and broadcasting for a reason. I don't want to talk about stuff like that. But the standard to bring criminal charges against somebody is very, very high because you can only convict them if it's beyond a reasonable doubt. Remember, The 25-year federal judge, Sue Robinson, found Deshaun Watson guilty of three separate transgressions under the NFL's personal conduct policy. She said he did it. She said he's lying. That's what she said. And, by the way, Deshaun Watson doesn't really think he's innocent, does he? He settled 23 of the 24 cases. If you were that confident that you did nothing wrong, wouldn't you fight it till the end of time? If you were that confident you did nothing wrong, I can tell you right now, and I understand there's economics involved and there's your reputation involved, but I got two daughters, man. If I got accused of this and I didn't do it, I'm not settling you know what. Because I'm making sure my family, my daughters, the people I grew up around in my hometown of Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, I'm making sure, darn sure they know that I didn't do it. And I'm taking it to the Supreme Court if you have to go there. Deshaun Watson already settled 23 of the 24. Look, we've talked about it a lot. The guy has some issues. But for you to say the no criminal charges thing, I think is something that a lot of people bring up. But I'm not sure they have a great understanding always of the different standards we're talking about here. In a civil case, it's more likely than not, which puts it at what? 51%? 50.1%? Whereas in a criminal case, it's beyond a reasonable, it's like 99%. So it's a much different, much higher standard that we're looking for here. I want to know how many of you are going to watch preseason games. Hit me up on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Do you watch your team's preseason game? Yes or no? If the answer is no, do you still think you are a diehard fan? Do you still think you can consider yourself the biggest fan ever of the Seahawks or whatever? Which is a whole other conversation, by the way. How are you feeling right now if you're a Seahawks or Falcons fan? They're not trying to win this year. They can trade for Jimmy G. They're not even trying to. You can't tell me you're trying to win if you're the Seahawks or the Falcons. And I'm sure there's some other teams out there, but those are the two come to mind. You can't tell me you're actually trying to win football games this year if you're one of those two teams and you don't make a play for Jimmy G. All right, so I want to know, I don't know if we'll have time for calls. We'll see how long we go with Vic. Depending on how long we go with Vic, maybe we'll get to your calls. There's still some Deshaun Watson people. I can definitely get to your tweets. So hit me up at Ross Tucker NFL and let me know whether or not you are going to watch your team's preseason games. Yes, no, why not? At Ross Tucker NFL. We got Rich Ackerman making sure you're up to date on all the things I probably haven't been talking about here on the Jim Rome Show. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Speaking of stopping by, Vic Tafer, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic, he's been covering the Raiders for a long time. He's stopping by. I used to talk to him all the time back in my NFL radio days. Love talking with Vic. Love the fact, by the way, in the last 10 minutes, I've gotten text messages from both my mom and my mother-in-law. My mom said she's listening, which is great. My mother-in-law sent a picture of me holding my, like, Yeti drink cup. I don't even know what these things are called. And she texted me and said, "Hope that's not a daddy drink." My mother-in-law knows that I call beers daddy sodas. It's kind of like a little way. Oh, it's just a daddy soda. No, it's not. It's just a daddy soda. Nothing wrong with that. So no, Rachel, it is not a daddy soda. It's just water. I can assure you. I got to drive back to Central Pennsylvania momentarily after I talk with my man, Vic. Vic, we got a game tonight, man. The Raiders are going to be in uniform and everything. You pumped?
Yeah, I'm fired up. It's the Jared Stidham, Jake Luton matchup we've all been waiting to watch. So it's going to be huge.
You know, Vic, there's a lot to get to. Can I just start with this? Because I know you've been covering the team for a long time. Do you agree that the Raiders have the best uniforms in sports? I mean, they do, right?
Wow, in sport, definitely in football. I haven't really thought about it in terms of the big picture in all sports. Obviously, some really traditional uniforms in baseball, but yeah, definitely. I think definitely top five probably in all sports without even thinking about it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know what I didn't love, Vic? And I played for Josh McDaniels in New England, and I like Josh quite a bit. I'm happy he's getting this opportunity. I'm happy that he's getting a chance to go back to Canton. I kind of felt, Vic, like Rich Bisaccia got a raw deal, and I thought in a small sample size that Bisaccia had done well. What was your thought on the organization making that decision, and why didn't they made it? And have you been able to see through camp so far this year why they made it?
I can definitely appreciate that sentiment. I mean, the Raiders made the playoffs for the second time in, I think, 19 years, and they fired the GM and the coaching staff. So for sure I can get people wanting to see some continuity kind of built off last year. He did a great job. They had so many things that happened off the field and just kind of keeping that team together. They finished up strong. So I definitely can see why people might think he got a raw deal. I just think it came down to that playoff loss. They lost at Bengals. And the way they lost, that last drive, there was a lot of mistakes. There was some of the play calls at the end. I just think that Mark Davis thought that to get to the next level he wants to go to, he needed a different staff. He needed someone with a little more experience, a little more game calling, a pedigree, like Josh McDaniels, obviously, all the rings from calling plays for the Patriots. I just thought he wanted to take another step up. He thought that not a revamp, more than a rebuild kind of thing. And I think that's why he went ahead and changed up the things with the coaching staff.
It's interesting because, based on the sample size when he was the head coach in Denver and then even whatever happened with the Colts, I guess I think it's kind of hard to make an argument that McDaniels has had kind of earned this other than, obviously doing a nice job in New England with Tom Brady, and last year, Mac Jones.
Yeah, he totally gets his job because of the rings. Obviously, he had the nightmare season in Denver, and whatever happened with the Colts, you can hear both sides of that story. But clearly, he got this opportunity because he won six rings with the Patriots. He knows Belichick's style, and he wants some of that on your team. He wants some of that Patriots winning tradition and style on your squad, especially the Raiders have had a long history the last 20 years of not being very good. So he won kind of a new mentality, a new culture, that's the popular word everybody uses. But I just think Josh got this chance because of the success in New England. And ideally, he learned from his mistakes in Denver, which he said he has. He's more of a people guy now than he was back then. So you hope that, the second go-around is much better than the first time.
Vic, what's going on with your organization in terms of all these people either resigning or being let go? It feels like it hasn't really become a national story like, the Dolphins or Washington or even the Deshaun Watson news. But it feels kind of weird, man. I mean, a lot of longtime employees being shown the door. Do we know what's going on there?
Just a lot of things that happen when a team changes locations. I think, the funny thing is, it's kind of funny but kind of weird. It's like, of all the people behind the scenes who got the Raiders to Vegas, like in terms of getting a new stadium deal done and getting everything in place in Vegas, I think like eight of those 10 people on top of the business side are no longer there. So just like some hiccups, I think some growing pains. I think Mark Davis saw some issues, wanted to clear up. So just whether it be financial things in terms of, he mentioned tax problems, there's some other issues with some of the stuff in Vegas. But just think like they're trying to, again, like just like on the field, trying to revamp things off the field, also kind of a new start off the field as well.
Interesting. All right, let's get into tonight. You mentioned the Jake Luton, Jarrett Stidham game. Who is playing for the Raiders tonight? Anybody interesting that we need to watch tonight? Any starters playing? Anybody that we should really be keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, I think you pretty much can cross off the top third of the roster. I imagine those guys won't play. I mean, Josh and I always said what his plans are, but it seems like there's no reason to play your top 30 or 40 guys. So I think the guys who might play who are interesting are maybe Alex Leatherwood might play. He's a guy who was a first-round pick last year, right now is kind of a second, you know, second string tackle, right tackle. Hasn't really played much guard in camp, not at all. I played a little bit last year, but he's a guy who's going to find a role somewhere. So I think he might play. I think another guy is interesting is Tyron Johnson. He's a speed guy who has a very deep receiving room, so he has to make an impression. He has in camp. He's looked really good in camp. Has to play well these games to kind of have a chance to make the roster.
Tell me the O-line left to right, and how concerned are they still about that group right now?
Well, they play the game tomorrow. I'd say the left to right, you got left tackle Colton Miller, left guard John Simpson, center Andre James, right guard Lester Cotton, and then right tackle Brandon Parker. So I'm sure those names don't probably get people fired up as far as how good their line's going to be. It's definitely still a huge question mark. They can always bring somebody in, whether a free agent signing in the next week or so, or wait until a guy gets waived, you know, when they create the cutdowns around the league. So they bring a veteran guy in. But, yeah, he's a huge question mark, definitely the biggest question mark on this roster.
Yeah, that's not good enough, Vic. Not in that division. It's funny because, you know, you talk to some Raiders fans, they think they're like going to the Super Bowl. You talk to other people that think Raiders are clearly the worst team in the AFC West. You know, there's a long time between now and the opener, but what's your read on this group right now?
Yeah, I think the O-line needs some help. I think they have to bring somebody in. I think Lester Cotton's been a great story. He's a guy who was cut four times. He's cut some weight down, worked hard. Now he's, you know, running with the first team at right guard, but clearly you don't know what he's going to, you know, have to offer when the games get real. So I think you got to bring somebody in at some point. I think, but ideally, and the receiving core is so good with, you know, Renfro, Adams, and Waller. Derek Carr won't need a lot of time back there. He just hike the ball and fire. Those guys will be open almost as soon as the ball's hiked. So ideally, you don't need as much time back there as normally would because the receiving core is so good. But clearly, that's an issue. I think defensively, they got the nice pass rushers in Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, but still question marks behind them at linebacker and in secondary.
So everybody needs to follow my man Vic on social media. Does such a good job covering the Raiders. Has for a long time. Does it now for The Athletic, at Vic Tafur, T-A-F-U-R. Vic, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, man. Thank you so much.
All right, boss. Take care.
There he is, Vic Tafur, covering the Raiders for The Athletic. I wonder, the Yankees uniforms are pretty sweet. You can't deny that. I'm trying to think of other uniforms in other sports that are even up there right now with the Raiders in my mind. I just think the Raiders, I like simple, you know? Like the old KISS philosophy, keep it simple, stupid. I want to finish the show with some of your tweets. At Ross Tucker NFL, Bella B, my girl up in Calgary, said, your guy is doing a fabulous job guest hosting today. She added Jim Rome. Has a chill vibe. I have a chill vibe? I didn't know I had a chill vibe. Cool. Thank you, Bella. I'll tell my wife that. I don't think she thinks I have a chill vibe. Very enjoyable to listen to. Rackin'. Love it. And she's got me up on her, like Microsoft Surface or whatever there. That's amazing. How about Carl and Prescott wants to know what's on the menu for me in Canton this weekend? That's a good question, Carl. You know what I'm going to do? Make sure you're following me, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know, if you're familiar with me and social media, I do a video of the press box food spread in every stadium when I call a game. And then on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on Monday, I give them a letter grade. And I don't complain. I just evaluate. I am the world's foremost press box food expert. By the way, no lie. People have said to my parents, oh, your son's Ross Tucker? Oh, yeah. He's the press box food guy. My parents sent me to Princeton University. It's like arguably the number one school in the country. And they had to pay. There's no athletic scholarships in the Ivy League. And their son is the press box food video guy. They must be so proud. Anyway, Carl, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to video exactly the food at the gold jacket ceremony tomorrow night. I will video that. Then I will video the food at Tony Baselli's private party Saturday night. The attire for that, by the way, is Vineyard Chic, C-H-I-C. Does that mean you're supposed to wear like vineyard vines? Or does that mean you're supposed to be dressed like you would at a vineyard? I don't even know. But maybe they're the same thing. Aren't they the same thing? I'll just wear a vineyard vine something. Anyway, Pete Lacrosse says, I don't watch much preseason. It's PLL lacrosse season, baby. I can see that, Pete, if you're a big lacrosse dude. Look, I know a lot of people that are big lacrosse people. I think it's an awesome sport. I think it's better than baseball, to be honest with you. Abigail's Burner says, I have watched almost every Raiders preseason game since the mid-90s. Got to do it. Love it. Nick Bassick, I will be watching my Giants because I love watching the new talent and seeing how they look in the NFL play style. Love it, Nick. Chester Jackson, of course I'm watching preseason. Go Raiders. Great job hosting. Nick Sullivan, Ross, could you explain why there is always that guy that kills it during preseason that is one of the first cuts? That is a very interesting question, Nick. I think sometimes it's because of the other guys they have at the position. I think that maybe he played well in the games, but there's an injury concern or an injury history. I think sometimes they really struggled in practice but happened to play well in the games, which I always think is interesting, right? Like, isn't that more important? Don't you kind of want the guy that plays well in the games? This guy says, I'm so used to listening to your podcast on 1.5X. I thought you were bombed. No, definitely not bombed. This is just how I talk. You get a whole lot more of it, by the way, if you ever check me out on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which I know a lot of you guys like to do. I'll be back tomorrow, though, so I don't need to keep telling you about all the other stuff I do. I'll be back tomorrow. Can't wait to do it. Love, love, love you guys. The feedback on social media, the calls today, what an absolutely epic show. No wonder you guys crash myfrontpagestory.com every time. Thank you to Colton Gesser, to Stu Kovacs, to everybody, Craig Kitchen, Spike Eskin, David Mirner, everybody. You guys are awesome. See you tomorrow.